My name is Reverend Marcelle Holman. And I begin that way because it's taken me quite a while to appreciate my own ordination. When I was coming in today to this gathering, I was kind of walking around and wandering and looking around at different things. And someone said, "Who are you?" And I wanted to respond by saying, "I've been looking for the answer to that all my life." I come before you to share a little bit of my story. I am 41 years old, and I have 5 minutes, and so I guess I will have 8 years a minute. When I think about the whole issue of power and institutional subversion, I thought that I would be able to share it without having a lot of emotion in the part of it. And as I walked into this room and I began to read through the materials, it hit me that I have not talked about my story and my journey in a public fashion before. And in fact, for the last 5 years, I have withdrawn from being very public at all in terms of my ministry. I'm going to talk about four situations in my journey, and then briefly tell you where I'm at today. When I accepted the call to the ministry, I went to a seminary here in the Twin Cities, which I'll leave nameless, and at that seminary during that time, they were not very honoring of women. And in fact, women were not to be ordained in that particular denomination. And I found myself questing and wanting to understand theology and get to know God better and develop the skills and the tools to do ministry. And there was something happening to my voice inside. It was not being affirmed, and it was slowly fading and dying. And yet, I decided to continue at that seminary. It took me 8 years to graduate on a 3-year program. And so I would go and stay as long as I could, and I would drop out. Another experience that I remember is I am ordained in the African Methodist Episcopal Church. And our ordination process is a 4-year process and 2 ordinations. You're ordained a deacon and then an elder. And when I finally had done all the requirements and was ordained an elder, I was standing out with a group of my co-ministers, and the gentleman began to talk about the need for me to be blessed. And I'm a young woman, and I'm wanting to be a part of the ministers, the preachers gathering, and I'm listening, but I'm not catching it. And so one of the ministers said, "You have time for me to bless you." And one of the other ministers started to say, "No, don't say that. She's an ordained minister. Don't say that." And he went on to describe his blessing. In the AMB church, it is important for ministers who come up the line to connect with a senior minister. And this minister wanted to bless me in a sexual way. Ooh. And so I didn't catch it, and I was struck by that. And it had a big impact on the way I presented myself in the context of my ministry in the AMB church from that point on. Another thing that struck me is we are appointed by a bishop, and I was appointed to my first church in 1989. I pastored St. Mark AMB Church in Duluth, Minnesota. And as I went to that church, there was a small membership, very faithful membership, primarily women. It was quite a blessing. I grew in leaps and bounds. As I passed that church, I had opportunity to meet people from all around the Duluth and around the country and even the world. And on one Sunday morning, I would commute to Duluth every weekend. After church, a woman came to me and she said, "I'm a missionary and I've been here in Duluth visiting, and I need to get back to the cities. Can I ride back with you?" She was an African-American woman who had been on the mission field in Ghana. And I told her, "Certainly, I'd love the company." As we were riding back, this woman talked to me about, she asked me this question, how did you get that church? And I was stumped and I said, well, the bishop sent me. She said, no, really, tell me how did you get that church? And she went on to describe the fact that her and other women like herself had had to pay high prices in order to get some opportunity to participate in a leadership role in the church. And those things were mostly sexual kind of behaviors. And I was struck by that. And it hit me at the core of my heart because it was blowing away every understanding I had of my church. You see, being African American and my experience of an African American woman, and in my community, in my church, I've always dealt with oppression and discrimination and all of that. And I always wanted to assign the discrimination, the abuse, to the fact that it was something that we adopted from the other culture, from the larger culture, if you will. And so I always made an excuse for my church. One other story, and that's this. I had been pastoring and participating in my church, a lot of recognition for that. The conference and rising bishop began to yell at me, you stupid woman, what's wrong with you? Don't you know how to do anything? That was the fourth thing that happened that had an impact on the woman and the minister that I am. I realized at that moment that not only in my personal home life in relation to my husband in an abusive marriage, that I was being abused by the church that I loved. And so I made a decision. And that decision was to accept God's call in my life, and I became willing to express that call in whatever means necessary. And I decided that being a single mother, having to raise two boys, that I would not publicly subvert my institution anymore. That in a sense, I would not look at it, I would pray about it, but I wouldn't be public about it. The last incident that happened right before I took my 5-year withdrawal was that 8 of my sisters who were pastoring churches in the district that I served decided to begin to gather and pray for one another and support one another. And as they did that, there became a large concern among the male ministers in the hierarchy about what they were doing. Those 8 women lost their churches. And as they were removed from the role, a piece of me went as well. And so today I stand before you with this story. And the image that I give myself in order to understand my role and my journey and how my power is that I remember slavery. And in slavery, there were those slaves who were in the field and those slaves who were in the house. There were those slaves like Nat Turner or some of the women who fought, and there were those who continued to just kind of be there and take. And I define for myself as one who takes it and survives, that I might be able to pass something on to the sisters that come.